two extremes and middle path. O monks, these two extremes ought not to be practiced by one who has gone forth from the household life. What are the two? There is addiction to indulgence of sense pleasure, which is low course, the way of the ordinary people, unworthy and unprofitable. And there is addiction to self-mortification, which is painful, unworthy and unprofitable. Avoiding both these extremes, monks, the perfect one, Tathagata, has realized the middle path. It gives vision, gives knowledge, and leads to calm, to insight, to enlightenment, and to nirvana.
Four Noble Truths. They are the highest teachings of the Buddha. It's only a supremely enlightened one will discover these truths. So they are unique to the Buddhas. At the very beginning of this discourse, as you all listened, the Buddha says that one who has gone from household life should avoid two extremes. The term the Buddha used here is pabbajitena. That literally means a monk or a nun, but it can be applied to any human being who is fully dedicated to cultivate, to achieve highest spiritual perfection, enlightenment. In that case, any human being who is dedicated oneself to train, to achieve higher morality, adisila sikha, any human being who is dedicated to train oneself to achieve higher mind, adichitta sikha, any human being who has dedicated to train oneself to achieve highest wisdom, adipanya sikha, such a human being is fully dedicated to cultivate one's own ethical, spiritual, and intellectual faculties in order to achieve enlightenment. So the term pabbajita can be used to mean such a human being. As the Buddha pointed out very clearly at the very beginning of the discourse, such a human being should keep away two extremes. One of them is addiction to indulgence in sensual pleasure. The other one is self-mortification. We will take these two in turns and understand them a little bit more. For human beings, gratifying one's sensual desire seems to be the only way to be happy, joyful, and satisfied. But for a human being who is dedicated to achieve the highest spiritual achievement, addiction to sensual pleasure is in fact is a burden, it is a hindrance. When Buddha says avoid addiction to sensual pleasure, he used five terms to explain why he advises one who is cultivating to attain perfect enlightenment should avoid addiction to sensual pleasure. First term is Hino. The word Hino means law. Human beings are capable of achieving higher goals in life, high spiritual attainments are possible for human beings. So in comparison with such higher spiritual goal, if a human being were to confine oneself to have the goal of sensual gratification is the only option in life, and Buddha says it is a low, it is a low goal. For some human beings, achieving sensual pleasure is the only goal in life. But in comparison, that human beings are capable of achieving highest spiritual achievements, this is low. That is why it is called Hino. The second word, Gammo. Gammo here means cause. Human beings are capable of enjoying highest bliss, highest happiness, highest peace. So Nibbana is the highest bliss, happiness, and peace. In comparison with sensual pleasure, the enjoyment, gratification, and the happiness you derive through sensual gratification is very coarse, very gross level, not refined, not advanced in comparison with the highest spiritual achievement. So Buddha used the term Gammo. The third word he used, Potujjaniko. Gratifying sense pleasure in order to achieve perfect satisfaction is a very ordinary way. That is an ordinary practice of ordinary human beings. So if you were to dedicate yourself to train to achieve highest spiritual perfection, then you need to go beyond this ordinary level. And human beings are capable of doing it. The fourth word, anariyo, unworthy. When we look at the sensual gratification and the amount of suffering that we have to put up with in order to satisfy sensual desire, and the amount of blood and tears that we shed along the way, and the amount of pain and suffering that we create in the process of struggle, in competition, to achieve this sensual pleasure, when we compare all these things, for the Buddha, it is unworthy, not worth of. Because having done all these, even we were to achieve sensual pleasure, the gratification in comparison with Nibbanic achievement is not worth. So Buddha used the word anariyo. The fifth word he used, anatta sanghito, unprofitable. Ordinary human beings will see the sensual gratification is the only way to achieve happiness. However, it is easily understood that sensual gratification bring temporary satisfaction, and again we end up being dissatisfied. So again and again we have to satisfy. So what happens here is addiction. So we are addicted to sensual pleasure. So this addiction bring little bit of satisfaction, but it keep us forever unsatisfied. So we are craving, we want more and more and more. So this is unprofitable way. So Buddha used these five terms: hino, gammo, potujjaniko, anariyo, anatta sanghito. Law, cause, way of ordinary people, unworthy, unprofitable. So he said, keep away from this addiction to sensual pleasure, which is one of the extreme. The other one is self-mortification. Self-mortification is not common among the human beings, ordinary. The self-mortification is not common among the ordinary human beings. However, in the time of the Buddha, there were religious seekers who were attracted to that extreme. And even today, you can see such practices are going on. In the time of the Buddha, those who renounced the lay life and became spiritual seekers, they believed that body and soul are two separate things. Soul is pure, but what has happened, the soul has become the prisoner of this body. So in order to release the soul from the body, we must torture the body, inflict suffering on body. This is one belief. Some others believed we suffer in life because of our past karma. So the only way to get rid of it is to torture our body. So when we torture the body, we will pay off our past karma. So when we pay off all these karmic debt, then our soul will be freed from all these and will shine forth. So these are the beliefs. Based on such beliefs, there were some religious seekers who tortured their body. And this is called self-mortification. And Buddha also advised to keep away from these extremes. And when he explained why we need to keep away from these extremes, he used three terms: dukkho, anariyo, anatta sanghito. Dukkho here means painful. Torturing body is a painful thing and should not be done. And the second one, anariyo, not worth of doing such terrible things to this body. You will not get anything out of it. Not worth. Anatta sanghito, unprofitable. At the end, it doesn't lead to the spiritual goal. So Buddha advised at very beginning of this sutta to keep away from these two extremes. Then he said, having avoided these two extremes, he encouraged the seekers of the truth to follow the middle way, Majjhima Patipada. So what is this middle way? The middle way is another term for the Noble Eightfold Path. And referring to this Noble Eightfold Path, the Buddha also used six terms to explain that it is worth following this path. Why it is so? He said, by following the middle path, you can achieve chakkukarani. It leads to the vision. The term chakku here means the eyes. When you practice the Noble Eightfold Path, eventually you will get the eyes. So what is this eye? This is the eye of the Dhamma. When you have eyes, you can see the light and you can see objects very clearly. In the same manner, you will get the vision. Chakkukarani. When you have this vision, when you can see the things clearly, Jnanakarani, you will get knowledge. When you see things through your own eyes and you can see them, you can understand them, you will achieve the immediate knowledge. There's no speculations, but immediate knowledge because you see them and then that become knowledge, Jnanakarani. Upasamaya, that also leads to calm. When you see how things are working in terms of five aggregates of clinging, when you have proper knowledge and ignorance will disappear together with its defilements. So when the mind is devoid of all the defilements, then that becomes calm, serene, peaceful. Enlightened human being always enjoy perfect bliss and happiness because his mind is completely free from the defilements. So that leads to calm. Upasamaya. Abhinyaya, this middle path, the Noble Eightfold Path, once we practice, that leads to abhinya, higher wisdom, insight. So here, the insight or higher wisdom is that you experience directly by yourself. That is very immediate. That is not superficial knowledge, but immediate knowledge. And that is deep, profound wisdom, insight. Sambodhaya, together with that, you achieve enlightenment, complete realization, full realization, enlightenment. And Nibbanaya, you will completely be free from the mess of suffering and attain complete Nibbana, cessation from all the suffering. So Buddha used six terms here to encourage the followers of the Buddha's path to attain that supreme goal by following the middle path, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. Now, I would like to ask the question here. In fact, why do we call the Noble Eightfold Path as middle way or middle path, Majjhima Patipada? Why did the Buddha call it middle path? Sometimes people might think because middle path compromise the other two extremes. However, that is wrong. That is a misunderstood point. Some people think the compromising of the indulgence of sensual pleasure and the self-mortification and combination of these two, some of these elements are taken and created middle path. That is not so. And the discourse itself very clearly says, Ubo ante anupagama, having avoid both extremes, Buddha teach the middle path. So middle path is no way of compromising of these two extremes. It is called middle path because it avoid all the extremes. So in this particular case, it avoids self-modification and addiction to sense pleasure. These two extremes are completely avoided. And again, why it is called middle path? Because the Buddha's path to enlightenment is also avoiding all the other extremes, views, and practices. In the time of the Buddha, as well as even today, we can see many religions in the world belongs to two extreme views. One is Satsatavada, eternalism. This is the belief that the soul is eternal. After the death, the soul exists eternally. Or after the death, the soul will move from one life to another life eternally. So this is eternal existence. As the Buddha says, if we had this belief and cling to it, then practicing the Noble Path is impossible. Because when you have this belief, you are becoming the spiritually extremist. You are holding to that view. And in fact, this view leads to grasping of five aggregates of clinging. And then we regard five aggregates of clinging as I, me, and mine, or soul. This itself is the bond, attachment, which keep us bound to repeated existence. So this view is avoided. The other extreme is Uchedavada, annihilation. That is the belief that after the death, nothing exists. The death is the end, materialistic view. So when we have such a belief again, and practicing the spiritual path is impossible, and attainment of enlightenment is impossible. And the biggest problem with nihilism is that leads to ethical nihilism, and that can deny the value of the actions. The Buddha avoid all these extremism and teach the Dhamma based on Majjhima Patipada, middle path. So this middle path is also the dependent origination. Things come into existence and they coexist together, dependent co-arising. So that is the reason why Buddha called the Noble Eightfold Path as middle path. Now, if you were to notice, at very beginning of the sutta, the Buddha, before he elaborates the Four Noble Truths, he is talking about the path. And he gives a very clear instructions to the monks, saying, monks, there are two paths you should not walk. These are the two extremes. Indulgence of the addiction to sense pleasure. The other one is self-mortification. So you should not follow these two paths. Then he said, but you must follow the middle path. Now, at very beginning, Buddha is talking about the path. And let's see whether Buddha has, in fact, personal experience to tell the monks which path is the way to attain enlightenment. If you were to look at his life, as a prince until 29 years old. He enjoyed himself and gratified himself following the path of addiction to sense gratification. His sensual gratification and enjoyment is explained in suttas by himself, how he enjoyed as a prince endowed with great power, glory, beauty, and everything in life. He followed it until 29 years old, but he did not achieve any higher knowledge. He was not completely satisfied. He was restless. He was having all the defilements like we all are having. So he gave up that path. Then he entered to the next path, which is the self-mortification. He practiced it 6 years. His body became almost a skeleton. And he was about to die, in fact. So he gave up that path too. And it also did not lead to any knowledge, higher knowledge, emancipation. Having given up these two paths, then he himself discovered the middle path, the Noble Eightfold Path. And by following that path, he attained perfect enlightenment. So when the Buddha says at very beginning of this discourse to these five monks, do not follow the paths of addiction to sense pleasure and the self-mortification, but follow the middle path. In fact, Buddha is talking from his direct experience. Okay, I think this is enough as a talk for today, and we will continue the discussions further based on this sutta in time to come.